It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 Closet Busters. It is that time. You guys know the drill. It's time for you to step out, step up, and step into living your most powerful truth. And today, I want you to think about this. What if it was kind of lights, camera, action? And instead of hiding yourself, I want you to imagine that you're putting your LGBTQ self out there in a really big way on the big screen or maybe on the stage, and there's no f***ing way you're going to be ashamed of who you are. You're going to be a star. In fact, you're going to be such a bright, shining star that you really, truly see that you're worthy of being yourself. Well, that being said, that's why I'm excited to have a really cool guy on the podcast today. He's a filmmaker. He's done some stage work. He's been an actor, and he just fully brings himself to the work. In fact, I just got to watch his film, Daddy's Boy, and it's premiering here in LA in just a few days. So awesome stuff. But what I love about the work that he does is he really brings himself, whether he's behind the camera, in front of the camera, he brings himself to the art form. He's done acting, he's done TV, he's done film, and it's a testament to the fact that you can be an out gay man of color and your star can shine brightly. Please welcome Daniel Armando. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, everybody. How are you? Thank you for having me. I am happy to be here with you.
Well, I am happy to have you, man. And I have to say, like I said in the intro, I watched Daddy's Boy, which I want to get into in a minute here. But
awesome.
It just seems like you really bring yourself to these projects that you work on. And I'm curious, has it always been that easy for you to like do it? And maybe it's not easy. Maybe it's still a challenge, but I'm curious, you know, what's it been like?
I'm new to filmmaking. I mean, This is my third film that I directed, third or fourth film. This is my second one that I've written and directed. And for me as a young filmmaker, I'm taking the opportunity to really explore who I am as a director and as a filmmaker and as an artist behind the camera. And so I think because I'm working on such a small scale and I am a independent artist where you know, I'm doing this all on my own with my producer and my friends who are talented cinematographers and actors and producers and artists themselves. I'm able to have more control because it is in such a small scale. Yeah. And so I can be a little bit more personal with my projects or keep it at least more intimate when I'm doing these types of films. And going right into the LGBT film form, I guess, that kind of medium, that genre, was something that I never thought I would go right into because I never thought I would put my own personal stuff on film or like my thoughts on it. But that's, you know, that's how it works. That's the best way that it does work is when you make it personal and when you can bring yourself into your films. And
well, so, as you're talking, one of the things that crossed my mind as you started describing what you just described was it's almost like each and every time you either, you know, put yourself behind the camera or you're writing and directing or you're stepping in front of the camera, it's like your own coming out journey each and every time. That's what it kind of felt like to me.
It is. And each and every single time, it's scary.
Exactly.
It's scary because, you know, you don't know how people are going to react or how people are going to take to you when you're presenting something new out there. So, yeah, it is. It is me coming out and introducing something new. And hopefully people will take something from it.
You know, I remember the very first episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I was scared to death. I mean, I was like, I can't believe I'm sitting here. I'm doing, you know, okay. And I don't know that I've ever really talked about this on the air before, but for those of you listening, this isn't like Rick sitting in some fabulous studio somewhere. No, Rick is sitting in his house, in his home office with a microphone, all the technology's here, but this isn't like some big production thing. So here I'm sitting, first episode, shaking like a leaf because the reality set in that this could become something that lots of people start listening to. And then lots of people are going to start believing in and lots of people are going to be turning to. I'm very blessed that that's exactly what's happened. But it was like each time I get behind the microphone, it's another coming out journey. Even as we're recording this one today, it's another coming out journey for me. And I think it's definitely a beautiful thing because it keeps me grounded. And it also reminds me that every day of my life is a coming out journey. Whether it's about coming out as a gay man or coming out as a gay father or whether it's coming out as an entrepreneur, because that's a whole other thing that I'm starting to do these days. So I'm curious, as you get behind the camera and stuff, and you kind of alluded to it in what you said, that, you know, it's about putting yourself out there. What was it like that very first time when you realized I'm really putting my gay self out there on a limb?
Surprisingly, it was very exciting. I was very excited to tell my story, to tell this particular story. It was a short film, the first time I directed, called Boys Like You. And I don't put myself in my movies anymore, but it was the first time I was still doing a lot of acting. So I said, why not? I'll put myself in the lead and write about this personal experience I had and put it out there. And I think at the beginning, I was just very excited to get the story out and to contribute to cinema and to just be an artist and put it all out there. I think afterwards, once it's all on, you know, on video and on screen, then you're like, oh, what did I just do?
Exactly.
Oh God, I just really put myself out there. But I was happy to just get it out and get the story out.
It's almost like every time I do this, it's like Madonna, you know, she comes in with her like a virgin. And that's all I ever hear. It's like, okay, here we go again, like a virgin. Each show is like popping that virgin one more time. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And for her, it's a new. I love her. I've seen two of her concerts. And yeah, she does that song every single time. But she does it different. And for her, it's probably scary every single time because she's introducing the song and introducing the story once again in a new way that she doesn't know how maybe the people will react. But I'm sure she's really excited.
So I'm curious. Boys Like You was the first, your first foray into this. And it actually ended up being best short at the North Carolina LGBTQ Film Festival. So congrats on that, man. Wow. First one out the gate and boom, there you go. But I'm curious, what was the compelling reason to do that kind of put yourself in that spotlight? You know, it was your story. It was, you know, what was it like to actually say, okay, I'm really going to put this out there?
I moved to New York to study theater. And then after I studied theater for 2 years at a conservatory in the Upper West Side, I went right into performing national tours and regional theater companies. And I did that for like five or six years early in my 20s.
Yep.
So after like 5 or 6 years of traveling and doing all this theater and stuff, I kind of got burnt out by it and kind of felt a little stifled and like I wanted to do something new. So I took a year off and just lived in New York, just didn't do anything, nothing creative really, and just kind of thought to myself, okay, what do I want to do next? And everybody always said, you should write something, you should do your own content, you know, do your own thing.
Sure.
But I didn't feel like I was ready to, or I didn't know how to do it. And so a few of my friends were already kind of working on film stuff and web series stuff. And it was so accessible. It became so accessible, you know, with cameras and editing and talent and getting things together. And people were starting to do their own thing. So I kind of felt like, all right, I feel like I have a good support system and a good group of friends that I can go to and say, hey, I'm ready to do something on my own. And so, yeah, it kind of just happened really fast. I just one night was like, all right, I think I'm ready. I want to do it. It was full force. I wrote it. I wrote a couple drafts of the script. It was a really short script and worked with my friend on writing it, getting it together, and then worked with another friend to produce it and to get it on its feet. I just went one step in front of the other. And after that, I fell in love with the whole process of filmmaking. And I love control and the creativity that came with that. So after that, I was hooked and I was like, I think I'm ready to step behind the camera and do all that work and, you know, pump out films and work on more stuff.
That's awesome. I got a question for you because this happens to me on occasion. Mm-hmm. When somebody refers to you as, oh, he's that out filmmaker, or he's that gay filmmaker, how's that feel?
I thought about that because, you know, when I do a couple interviews or different publications come up to me, it's either like the Latino filmmakers or like the LGBT, or I get thrown a lot. And I actually, in a way, I don't mind it. I don't. Because I know that each community offers a lot. There's a lot there. So if people want to say, oh, there's Daniel Armando, the gay filmmaker, I'm proud to be out and gay and be a filmmaker. If somebody wants to say there's a Latino filmmaker, I'm proud to be Latino and a filmmaker. So I embrace, I guess, all those labels because I'm proud to be a part of those communities and have that support from them. And for me, that makes me that much more of a specific artist because I have that point of view. I'm a Latino, gay, filmmaker, artist.
Right. That's awesome. And, you know, it took me a while to really start to embrace some of this. And because I came out later in life and, you know, I was learning as I went, even though I'd been in my head out of the closet since I was 19. It wasn't until I was 36 that it all started to unravel. And then I remember, you know, getting used to people saying, oh, you're a gay parent, you're a gay dad, you know, you're a, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then as I stepped into this role of, you know, being a life coach and everything else, and oh, yeah, he's the gay life coach. And then he's the gay podcaster. And then, oh, he's the gay author. I'm like, really? But I'm like, you know what? That helps people kind of, you know, embrace and find a way for themselves to, like, understand you. And as soon as I let go of it, go, okay, that's just helping them get it. But it doesn't define me. And
no, it doesn't. I mean, at the end of the day, you are who you are. You're parents, you're a life coach, you're a filmmaker, you're an artist.
Yeah.
If people want to throw that specific little label on top of it, then for me, it's like, all right, if that's going to help you understand who I am more or get a sense of where I'm coming from, then hey, feel free to put that label on me.
So I'm curious, what do you enjoy more at this stage? I mean, I know it's been kind of a quick run to this world for you of, you know, being an actor and a filmmaker and everything. What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy being behind the camera or in front of the camera?
The last film I acted in was for my friend Ryan Bayless. He did a beautiful film that he wrote and directed called Love Me Anyway. And it was shot in Los Angeles. So we took advantage of the whole LA landscape.
Nice.
And that was the last time I acted. And as of right now, I don't have any desire to do it. I mean, being behind the camera, you have the luxury of waking up in the morning and throwing on a hat and, you know, a sweatshirt and then getting down to business. As opposed to an actor, you're constantly thinking about how you look and how you sound and how you're coming across and all this stuff. You become a little self-conscious. And as a director, I don't have to do that. I don't have to think about physical things about me or anything. I just can just do the work. So for now, I think I'll never say never, but for now I'm sticking to directing and writing, producing, and leaving the acting to the pretty people.
So I'm curious because I have another question I want to ask, but I think I need to like cue this one up before I go to this other question. So tell us a little bit about your own coming out journey. Was it like tough? Was it easy? Was it
like my very first film? It was very exciting. I was very excited to share the news. I was older. I was 23 years old. So at that time, I had already graduated from college, had already lived on my own for a bit, and kind of was living my own life. My whole family's on the West Coast, and I was in New York on my own, kind of living my life. And so my experience, surprisingly, I came out in Ohio. In the Midwest, you would, which, you know, living in New York, you would think that that's where it would happen.
Well,
was,
all I can say to that is bless you, my son. That's a pretty brave move right there.
That's where it happened. I was doing a show. I was working at a theater company, a regional theater company in Ohio. And, you know, you meet people and you, the right people that you feel like you can finally open up to and come out. And I found a good family there that I was able to do that with.
I'm going to jump in right here because you just delivered a really solid, beautiful nugget to our listeners. Finding your people and quote unquote your family that you really feel comfortable with. I think sometimes what happens in our coming out journeys is we make these assumptions that, okay, it's got to be mom and dad or it's got to be my brothers or sisters or whatever. It's got to be these people first. No, not necessarily. Sometimes it's going to be the people you may have the shortest relationships with that make you feel most comfortable, that gives you the runway and the ramp to quote unquote practice coming out with before you go to the bigger ones. And so that's why I wanted to interrupt you, man, because that was like one of those beautiful nuggets that you delivered.
And you know what? That's how I think when I was coming out and I had come out in a relationship, I had met somebody. And so I was very excited to go back to New York and tell family and friends that, look, I met somebody. He's wonderful. And by the way, that means that I'm gay. He's another guy, another dude. So I was very excited. And once I came out and was telling friends and family, I became very selfish. It was more like, this is how I feel right now. I'm very fragile. You know, you can either be with me or you cannot. You can either accept me or not. But I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do what I need to do. And that was it.
Take me a little bit into that selfish, because I want the listeners to kind of hear that piece.
It's one of the few times where you kind of can feel that way because you're going through so many emotions of what am I doing? This contradicts maybe my beliefs that I've grown up with. How's my family going to react? How's, you know, what I do as a living going to be affected? So it is all about you. And at that point, you kind of do have to make it about you and make it about me first, you first. And then anybody else who wants to join you or accept you can come along in that journey with you.
Absolutely. So here is what I love to call that. And it's easy for all of us as humans to say, oh, that sounds a little bit selfish. I love to call it self-love.
Self-love, yeah. That's
because this is one of those moments where, and it's not just a LGBTQ thing. I think a lot of people go through this and they don't realize it. It's like, okay, well, if I'm going to go home and tell mom and dad I want to marry this guy, but God, he doesn't make the kind of money my family is. He doesn't come from the. Suddenly there's all that same stuff that starts to crop up. Well, the same thing happens in our coming out journey. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. And I know it's going to seem selfish. No, it's a lot of self-love because that's where it all starts, at least my opinion. And if we can't love ourselves, and I think RuPaul says that all the time, if you can't love yourselves, how are you ever going to learn to love somebody else, honey? So, you know, but it is beautiful. And I find it very unfortunate that this selfish tends to show up so much. And not because you said it, but I'm glad you said it. Because I think that's an underlying theme that happens in our coming out journeys is, well, I feel like I'm being a little selfish. No, you're just self-loving right now.
Yeah. And I think that's also grabbing strength and building that strength and that courage to live your life and live your own truth. I don't know how I would have been if I was 18 and had done come out. But being 23, I was older. I had known a little bit more. I had lived a little bit on my own. So I had to already build that strength to find that support within myself. So I felt like it was the right time for me, and I was prepared for it and prepared for people not to accept me, whether it be my mom or my sisters or my brother. I was prepared to have friends maybe distance themselves. And for me, it was like, all right, it's a filter. It's a filter. And now my true friends are really going to come out, or my true family is really going to come out. And it was great that, you know, the people that I really wanted to be there were there. That support was really there.
Yeah. I was listening to an episode of Savage Podcast the other day, and Dan Savage said something really poignant about this whole coming out piece. He goes, you know, so often we prepare for the rejection.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
But what we don't prepare for is standing in front of those we care about most and preparing them for us to reject them.
Yeah.
Because it's a two-way street. If you choose to reject me, then I may choose to reject you. Now, that's not how I want people to walk away from these conversations, feeling like, okay, I'm going to have to reject my family, but you may have to. You may have to. I mean, I'm in a space right now where I'm personally not having any interaction with my parents because of some stuff that's gone down. And I finally have put my foot down and said, no, you don't get to do this anymore. Yeah. This just isn't cool. I care about you, but this isn't cool. I can't take this sort of abuse, and I can't take this constant stuff.
That is something that, you know, they have to deal with. And those are their concerns and their emotional stuff that they have to deal with. Because if you're fine with yourself and you're like, you know what, this is my truth. I'm finally able to be truthful with myself and be in the right headspace for me to come out. I'm dealing with it.
The other thing that happens too is you're like just sending all the zingers over today, and I love it. Is this truth piece is when you embrace your truth and you embrace it fully and wholly in front of someone. Okay. And I know that sounds kind of weird to say fully and wholly, but it is. And I don't mean like, well, it is kind of a holy thing too, like, you know, a spiritual thing. But when you embrace that in front of someone, I promise you, it's going to trigger them, good or bad. Because when we can stand resolute and say, this is my truth, the person hearing that message gets triggered to go, well, what is my truth that I'm not living? And this is something we miss as human beings, that each interaction we have is a reflective mirror to the person we're having that interaction on, that something that happens is going to reflect on them in some way. And sometimes it's really beautiful, and other times it's not. But especially in the coming out journey, I know that many, many people that I've helped through this journey, they've learned that mirror piece is huge. When they can say, oh, wow, I just triggered somebody, but it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the trigger within them that they haven't come to terms with yet.
And that's something you can't help. That's something that they have.
Exactly.
When they're ready to then confront you with it or step up to you, then hey.
Absolutely. So the reason I wanted to get a little bit of that backstory to get back to the other question I was going to ask is, so it sounds like you kind of came to terms and everything, but I'm wondering, the work that you do now, how much does that consistently contribute to you being able to fully stand in your own power as a gay man? Does it reinforce that I'm okay, I'm good? Does it make you feel, you know, empowered because of the kind of films you're making? Does it at times make you question whether you're on the track?
I definitely take on the responsibility. I feel like as a filmmaker, I have a responsibility to be personal with my work. One of the main reasons why I wanted to do LGBT films, and especially LGBT films that feature minorities as the leads, is because when I was younger, there was a few, you know, the gay films out there or the gay characters in the TV shows. And for me, you know, I was trying to find something that I could relate to or something that reflected who I was as a person, whether it be Latino or a boy or whatever. I wasn't finding that. I wasn't seeing a lot of that. So growing up, I felt like, man, if I had seen like maybe another young Latino on television, and there was a few, I think My So-Called Life, but if I had seen more or different stories that dealt with people that kind of looked like me or they were going through my kind of struggle, I probably would have came out sooner. I probably, because then I would have felt like, you know what, hey, this character on TV or that movie, you know, kind of helps me and I can relate to that film. And so hopefully, even though some of my films right now are like really R-rated, but maybe, you know, a teenager or a young adult who's Latino can look at them and say, wow, that's me up there. Right, and right. Now I can relate to it. So I do feel, in a way, I guess the word is responsibility. Responsibility as an artist and as a gay man and as a Latino to come with that perspective. Because at the end of the day, if I don't, who is, you know? Right.
And I love that you see that responsibility piece. I think each of us in our own way, we own the responsibility, regardless of sexual identity, sexual orientation, just as humans, we own the responsibility to be who we are, plain and simple. And when we relinquish that responsibility, it's typically when we start to have issues. Because then we allow others to be our voice. We allow others to determine our path and so on and so forth. Oftentimes, this is where the stumbling blocks begin to occur. Obviously, in the coming out journey is when we try to continue to make others feel comfortable on the comfy couch of life just to be comfortable with us. So let's talk a little bit about Daddy's Boy. This is the newest one. It will have premiered by the time this show airs. It will have premiered at the LA Film Festival. But what was behind the development of this? I mean, it's a very interesting film, and I loved it, as I already said. But what was like the genesis of this one for you?
Genesis. The first film I wrote and directed was called What It Was. It dealt with women, with mothers and daughters and sisters and with lovers, with lesbians and sexuality and identity. And I really loved when I would go to the film festivals, especially the LGBT film festivals, the discussion and the dialogue they would bring up within these women and the stories that would conjure up in these women, which predominantly the audience would be all women. I love that discussion, and it brought up a lot in their stories that they felt like, oh, I could relate to the film, especially when it was a Latina. And so I felt like, oh, that would be so great and wonderful if I could see that with an all-male gay audience or discussing issues with the identity of being a man or relationship with your father or your brothers or relationships between men. And so I kind of wanted to explore that. And that's what you kind of see in the film. It's just an exploration of masculinity and femininity and identity and overall just relationships between men, whether it be with your father or with your brother. Right. And question of what does it mean to be a man? And, you know, how is that defined? And how do we learn to be men?
I was watching the movie, and I, without giving it away, because I want people to go out and wherever they can see this, I would love them to go see it. But there's a scene in the park with the father and the son.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie, because it's really where the father kind of, he tiptoes into the things that we don't talk about. And but yet he tiptoes around it by talking about, you know, the mother and what mothers need to know. And I just love that scene was so powerful to me, because it really set the tone for how we do life sometimes. We tiptoe into things. We only give enough information, but the information he gave to his son at that point in time was enough of a signal to say it's okay to kind of not tell the whole story at times.
Yeah. What's interesting about that is that, you know, we all, for the most part, most guys have had those awkward talks with their fathers, whether it be like the sex talk or, you know, the growing up talk or whatever it may be. And I wanted to have that scene where here you have this father kind of letting him know a little bit about himself and something that's probably not expected. I'll just say it, where he's telling him his experience with another guy when he was younger.
Yeah.
Which is like, whoa, my dad's telling me about an experience with another guy when he was younger.
That's but the way he does it, it's so beautiful. I mean, it was just You know, it was definitely that thing. And, you know, I will tell you, it hit me pretty hard when I saw that scene, because it's been about six months, maybe 8 months. Mm-hmm. The first time I actually talked about a situation with an older adult in our family. Mm-hmm. And I was at a university, and I speak a lot, and, you know, sometimes we get bored talking about the same thing over and over and over again. And as I was driving to speak, I thought, okay, what can I do to shake it up today? And couldn't really come up with anything. And I don't know, there was just an energy when I walked into that room, and then one of the other speakers had said something, and then I just went for it. And I actually opened up about this whole experience with this older adult in my family.
Wow.
And I didn't hide much, but I remember my own way of tiptoeing through this, because I'm like, okay, I'm in a university setting here. I don't know exactly how I want to position this. And what I found myself finally coming to was really saying, you know, I had this experience with an uncle, and while I don't approve of what he did by any stretch of the imagination, because he had no right to steal my sexual innocence at that point in time.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that it happened so that the light bulb could go off in my own head and go, oh, now I understand why I have some of the feelings I'm having, because this is what I really have been questioning. Now, at 8 years old, there was still a whole lot of growing up and figuring stuff out, but that was the first time I truly remember feeling like, okay, now I kind of understand some of this stuff. And that was a big moment. So as I'm watching the film,
wow.
I'm like, oh, okay, this kind of takes me back to that moment.
Oh, you so, see, there you go.
Yeah. And I think that's what filmmaking is all about. I think each piece of film, regardless of what it is that you're watching, takes you back. Now, last night with my husband, Eddie the Eagle, about the British ski jumper guy who was determined to be the ski jumper. And it touched me in so many different ways about that determination to just keep going. Yeah. Just beautiful, beautiful
stuff. I
think
it's great. Yeah. It's great when people can say, oh, I loved the film in terms of like the acting or the performances or the cinematography or just how, you know, all the technical stuff. But I love it even more when somebody can come up, and I've had this happen to me in San Francisco when we screened it at Frameline. Right away, you know, people come up to me and tell me their personal stories about their father, you know, the relationship with their father, or like, oh, I had a discussion with my dad, just like in the film, or my relationship with my brother is just like in the film. And I love when it can conjure up things about themselves and make them think about situations that they never thought about before. If it brings up a memory about their own life, that makes it worth it for me. And that's great, because that, I feel like for me, film as an art form should do that, should conjure up feelings and emotions within yourself and make you think, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way. Or, oh, that really made me think about my father.
So here's something I do with clients. Not every client, but I would say a majority of my clients. As they're coming, depending on where they are, some of them are well beyond this, but depending on where they are, if they're still trying to grapple with coming to terms with who they are, when they start to move through the space and start to embrace themselves, one of the exercises I often have a client do is I'll ask them a question. So I'll just kind of do it with you. So if you were to pick a film that really speaks to you, and it can be one of your own, but you know, just any film, what would be a film that really speaks to you, Daniel?
I do have my top 5 favorite films.
Okay.
And my top, as everybody knows, Forrest Gump.
Okay, perfect. So if you were my client and you said that and you were still trying to find your way to really embracing yourself, the assignment I would give you is, man, I'm so excited that you love Forrest Gump. That's one of my favorite films too. But here's what I'd love to have you do, Daniel. I would love to have you get it on, you know, Redbox, DVD, you know, whatever, wherever you can find the film. And especially now that you're starting to embrace yourself as a gay man, I would love to have you rewatch this film for the first time as a gay man. Fully embraced yourself as a gay man.
Mm-hmm. I think I have.
And see yourself fully through the eyes of that movie now as a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing when I send clients off to go do that exercise, they can always come back with, wow, that was a really powerful experience, because I saw things about me being gay and about me hiding myself, or about having relationships, not just sex hookups, but, you know, my relationships with other people. And it doesn't matter what the movie is. It could have been, you know, Star Wars for, you know, whatever. It's amazing when you give someone the permission to say, today you get to go watch that movie as that gay man, that lesbian, that transgender, that queer, bi, whatever it is. there always is something they come back to me with, like, oh my God, they had like a huge, powerful, you know, movement.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I've watched that movie. It's interesting how you can watch a film, the same film, in different stages of your life. And so yep, I've seen it as a young kid and as a teenager and then as an adult and then as an openly out adult. I definitely pick up on and see, you know, my perspective is completely different every single time I watch it or the last few times I've watched it.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's great.
So what's next for you, man? You know, like I said, we're taping this. It's going to be, you know, the film's Daddy's Boy is going to be premiering in just a couple of days here in LA, but we'll be on that by the time this actually airs. But going into the fall of 2016, what's on the plate for Daniel Armando?
Well, for the film, we're going to be heading to North Carolina, the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival.
Awesome.
So if you happen to be in Raleigh, Durham, feel free to join us there. And then I think it'll be somewhere else in the Midwest we'll be going with the film. And hopefully, you know, for the rest of the year, we'll be screening it more. We'll keep that updated on the website. And then as for me, I'm in post-production with a film that I directed that my friend, my business partner, Dane Joseph, wrote. And we both produced it, and then I directed it. And it's called The Breeding. So I'll just leave it with that.
Awesome.
Conjure up a lot of stuff. But, you know, it's a nice, sexy film with a lot of emotional stuff in it. I watched one of the drafts already, and it looks pretty visually cool. So I'm really happy with that. So we have that, and we have another film. Nova Novas is a company that we both work under, and we have a lot of stuff, a web series, Drama Queens, that if you want to check it out still, it's on our YouTube channel.
Awesome.
And then we have a film that's in distribution called Subways that working that out. And then a film that my first film that I wrote and directed, What It Was, is on Amazon.
Cool.
So Amazon Prime. So if you want to check it out, feel free.
Great, great stuff. So for those of you, because it's just ironic, I just looked at our production calendar. This podcast is airing the week of the North Carolina Film Festival. So in the middle of it. August 12th through the 20th in Durham, North Carolina is the North Carolina Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. This podcast is going to air that week on the 17th. So hopefully if things go right, it might just hit just perfectly. Do you know the actual date?
August 13th. So it's the day after the opening night on the 12th. So on the 13th and the 14th. So you have a Saturday and a Sunday to watch it. I think both of them are in the afternoon, like 3:30.
Awesome. Well, what we'll do is we'll make sure we get some pre-promotion going for you guys.
That's great. The festival there, the LGBT festival, is wonderful. We've screened a lot of our films there, and they've been so welcoming and have embraced our work.
Awesome.
And the people who run it, Jim Carl, one of the people there, is just wonderful. And so we're always happy to be there and to be with the whole community there.
Cool.
So we're excited.
Very cool. So the last question I always ask each of my guests before we part ways is, you know, as someone who's out, who's gone on your own journey, I used to say gone through your own journey. I know now we're never done with our journey. We're always on the journey. If you could leave some nugget of wisdom for someone, what would you love someone who's just starting the journey or in the midst of the journey, what would you love to leave them with?
I guess one thing that I always try to tell myself is patience. To have patience. I think a lot of us get scared of what the future holds or what certain situations hold, or we want things to happen right away. But, you know, the universe does have a weird way and a beautiful way of presenting things to you at the right time. And as long as you have that patience, whether it is you're searching for something or you're waiting for something, just to have the patience and just be there in the present and have faith and hope that, you know, things ultimately do been for a reason.
Yeah. That's really great advice. I love that. We're approaching, I mean, your show is going to be number 94, 95, something like that. And on all of them, I think that's the first time somebody has said, have patience. And I think it's a really great piece of advice, man.
I can become very impatient very easily. So even as a kid, when someone tells me like, oh, it'll happen, but it's not going to happen until like a year. Well, at least I have a year and I'll be patient, or, you know, I'll just be patient as of now and know that it's all going to work for the best.
It's awesome. Well, Daniel, it's been truly my pleasure to have you here. I love what you're doing in the world. Just, you're a great guy to chat with. I could sit here and chat with you for hours on end, but I know we both got stuff to do. Thank you for sharing yourself with the world today. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Rick. It's been wonderful and exciting, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah. And if you enjoyed what we've been doing here on the Coming Out Lounge today, you guys kind of know the drill, but share this with someone. Somebody out there that you know may very well need to have this point of inspiration. Maybe there's a young filmmaker out there who you kind of think is looking for themselves, trying to land in her or his own life in a way that maybe they just need this little bit of a push. Well, if they do, share it with them. Give us some ratings and love on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you are. Just help spread the word. And if you yourself are struggling, just take a look at the show page. There's lots of opportunities to find a way, find a pathway to have a conversation with me and start to open yourself up to what it really means to be your truth. And Daniel said, have the patience to truly be yourself. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks for listening to the Coming Out Lounge. I'm Coming Out Coach Rick. I truly love all of you listeners and appreciate you giving me the pleasure of your time for 1 hour out of the week. Take care, everyone. And we look forward to chatting with you in just another week. Hey, 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 Closet Dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to invite you to check something out. You know, for all the years that I've been a Coming Out Coach, one thing I've learned is sometimes people come to do the work with me and they only need a little bit of help to get over something very particular and very important to them. It could be reconciling their religion and sexuality. Maybe it's learning how to have the difficult conversations where they say, I'm gay. Possibly it could be, oh my God, I'm out of the closet, but now how do I do this same-sex dating and mating sort of thing? Well, what I can tell you is throughout the years, there are common things that show up over and over and over again. And what I've heard most from my clients and listeners of the podcast is, I want a way to work with you just on these particular subjects. Yay, I am so excited because I've taken the action and I've made this possible. So how do you find out about these particular programs? You go to thecomingoutcoach.com, or if you're on the show page right now listening to the podcast or have just listened to the podcast, over to the right-hand side of the podcast description area thing is an icon that says one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button. You'll be taken to a page that describes each of the different 9 sessions I'm offering. They are one-on-one sessions that we can do via phone, Skype, or even FaceTime. They're very action-oriented. We go right to the topic that you want to talk about. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So what more could you ask for? You get me for 90 minutes devoted to you, plus my book. So go check it out. See if there's something that could help you as you step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth. Take care. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach. I look forward to working with you.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.